All right. Hey, annual tradition before SEC media days. We got my SEC quarterback rankings. It's always a special time when I get to sit here and chat with you, brother.
Well, let's talk quarterbacks. Let's open up a cold beer. Come on. Remind the listeners that this is Mike's list, not mine. I love this one. This was one of my favorite ones just because, funny, because we're talking quarterbacks here, and that's what I'm most excited about. I felt like last year we had a couple dudes that we were looking forward to. Obviously, Arch and John Mateer, that was a big deal, but you had Pavia floating around. It just feels like, I don't know, man. As I look at this quarterback room top to bottom, it feels like we've got more talent. It's deeper. So I'm looking forward to your quarterback rankings. But more importantly, I'm also looking forward to some of these storylines coming in here. You got Lane Kiffin going back to Ole Miss, going back to Tennessee. You know, that's what everybody's going to want to talk about. You know, we got some coaches that are back against the walls, you know, a little hot seat conversation. But then we also got some new guys, some fresh blood in here. We're looking for that next coach to take it to the next level, you know?
Maybe I should have done the list, which quarterback can throw better in the wind? Because yeah. we're in it right now.
We're in it, man. I'm afraid I'm going to blow away. Just kidding. I'm safe. Hey. It's good seeing you again, man.
Yeah. A
little cold beer action. Obviously, we get to see each other quite often digitally, but it is a little different when I see you full face. So do you always wear shorts, or is this something
always
new? Nice.
Unless I'm at media days, then I wear pants.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and then I always try to make this as clear as possible. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever gets it. That's all right. This is not my rankings of where these guys are today. This is 2026 SEC quarterback rankings for a reason. So who, if we were doing a draft at the end of the year, not NFL or anything like that, but if you need one quarterback to win you a game, do or die, make the playoff, or in a national championship, however you want to phrase it, that's what this list is. So I'm trying to project ahead by the end of the year, who will we take these quarterbacks if we could in order? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, everybody's going to see the list, Mike's list again, and they're going to quickly go to my guy's better than this, you know, or you nailed it, Mike. This is a ball knower, you know. So it's going to be one of two conversations. But I really like the way you word it. We're in high school,
yep.
And I'm going out here. I need a quarterback. Are my quarterbacks banged up? I got 16 quarterbacks to choose from. Who do I want to lead this team? I think that's very important. But it's also important to note, it's not stats. It's not who's going to have the most yards. It's not who's going to have the most touchdowns. It's not who's going to win a Heisman even. It's who's the best quarterback. So I love it, and I'm ready to hear and pick apart your list, SEC Mike's list.
And like I said, best quarterback that can throw in this damn wind. I hope it's just a total garbage audio, but
I have been drinking.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That sounds a lot better already.
Yeah.
All right. So number 16. Again, every year somebody's got to be 16, Shane.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it, but I've been pretty accurate when it comes to dead last quarterback in the Southeastern Conference. Remember, I think maybe last year, I think I might have had the old Bo Prabula, and they were none too – Bo's going to win the damn Heisman.
Yeah.
And he looked like it against Purple Peanut Butter, whoever they played with. And then by the end of the year, they were like, yeah, get his ass out of here. You know what I mean? So I think I got this. And I will say – now, people aren't going to believe us, right? But I think this is the most talented, maybe the best number 16 we've ever had in the Southeastern Conference in these quarterback rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Curtis Vanderbilt.
Oh,
true freshman, five-star. Could he be the next Pavia? Sure. But is it overnight?
Yeah.
Year one? I don't know, Shane. I don't know. They're replacing a lot on the offensive line. They're replacing a lot at receiver. They do got a good, really good running back, but
These
ain't running back rankings. This isn't quarterback rankings.
Right.
I think right now, Jared Curtis, true freshman. I watched the spring game. He looked awesome. I hope he is awesome. He's not going to be awesome this year.
I was gonna ask. You were there. You got to see the spring performance, and seemed like he had a little bit of a rough start. But later, he started making some throws that you can see why he's a highly, you know, recruited athlete. But
right.
I'm curious, man. Did you – Was this a tough one? Was this a tough 16? Like, I, you know what I'm saying? I always feel like tears are involved in, or was this, man, this is probably my guy. This or the, another person?
I'd say the next four or five, mm-hmm. they're all kind of grouped together.
Because I wonder, right? He's freshman. Are you, is it because of his youth?
That's
because,
part of it.
Yeah.
Because part of who he's got around him.
Okay.
Again, I'm trying to look at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Who are we going to take in a draft?
Yeah.
Who are we going to take to win a game?
Right.
That's the best way to say it. And I don't think anybody at the end of the year is going to be like, give me Jared Curtis, do or die.
Yeah.
I think what they'll be saying about Jared Curtis is, man, he had some moments. Remember that third quarter against Ole Miss? He was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Remember that first quarter against Tennessee? I thought he was going to smoke their ass, you know?
Yeah.
But then he had multiple turnovers because he's a freshman.
Right.
Thrown into action. I think we'll see flashes of brilliance.
Yeah.
And a lot to work with going into year two.
And you said a lot to work around. So in this scenario, let's say we're in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Arch Manning's removed. He's banged up or something. Or he's just sitting the bench for a minute. And we got these elite receivers. The other 15 quarterbacks in the league, you're taking Curtis last to – okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Because, I got to put somebody last.
Yeah, anchor's way down.
All right, there you go. I hate this one.
Mm.
I love it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Number 15.
Yeah.
I think I'm already dead to them, so I don't care. I don't care to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
But this is blowback's going to come back on you on this one. Give me number 15. Austin Simmons, Missouri.
Jeez.
I'm tired of the hype, Shane. What have we seen from this guy to be like, oh, yeah, Missouri upgraded.
Yeah. You know,
maybe that just really says that Matt Zoller's year two quarterback is – I mean, they were pretty hyped about him until we saw him last year. And then immediately after spring, boom, Austin Simmons is our starting quarterback. I don't know, Shane. I've gone back and watched. He's got more interceptions than he's got touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, does this mean Austin Simmons is horrible? No. But I'm not buying into the hype because I got Ole Miss people telling me he was going to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
Tim, Tolkien. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just wait. You're going to eat
say
your
it,
word.
Mike.
Remember, this was the guy that I did the hot yoga bet.
Yeah.
If he was an elite quarterback.
But to be fair, don't you think he just hasn't had that opportunity? I mean, he got banged up early. Lane Kiffin obviously saw something. I mean, he picked him over Trinidad, you know, and I feel like they kept waiting to get Austin healthy and back out there, and then Trinidad just kind of took off. So I think. Again, I have been drinking. And so I'm thinking in my mind to say he's number 15 when the quarterback whisperer, Lane Kiffin, says, no, he was my guy. I feel like you're a little low on him.
Maybe he's not a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
You thought about that?
Maybe.
Just
yeah.
wait till we get to Sam Leavitt, you know? So maybe Lane Kiffin's a little overrated when it comes to that.
I don't know, man. I mean, he came in and he made Matt Corral look like a damn Heisman winner. So, I don't know. I've always felt quarterbacks are in good hands when Lane's with them, and he's a good identifier of talent. That's one thing. Ole Miss never had, you know, top three, talent coming in, but it seems like he made them top three talent. So, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. When's the last time Missouri had a good quarterback?
That was 3 years ago, maybe. I mean, no.
Not
I don't
even.
Think so. I mean, he was serviceable, right?
So that's 15th in my book, serviceable. You know what I mean?
Okay. I saw Drew Locke was,
right.
That the
was before
Ghost.
Drink.
Yeah.
So it's been that long. And maybe Missouri just, with this offensive scheme, maybe they just can't produce a quarterback.
I feel like you go all in, especially with transfers, right? You're committing to this guy to, you know, get your team to this next level. And I don't know, man. I feel like Austin Simmons has the attributes to make things really interesting. Balance out this offense, not just make it so run heavy, even though they could do that, even though Drink's going to want to do that. I feel like if you don't have the threat to take the top off, then – people are going to get 8-9 in the box, and they're going to keep doing what they've been doing the last few years. So, I don't know. I think you're wrong on Austin Simmons, and I think he's going to prove you wrong by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
priceless.
Prepare for Shane to say that 15 times in a row. He can't be wrong about all of them, you know.
I didn't argue with Jared Curtis. Okay, he needs to prove it. But you know what? I'd probably put him up a little bit higher. There's a couple of other new faces that you haven't got to yet.
All right, number 14. I hate these lists, Shane.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not ranking the guys today, right? But I hate these lists when they're like Faison and George McIntyre. Like, they're picking two. Have some balls. You know, Pick a guy. And this is the end of the season. So, we already know. I'm putting it out on the line. I could be wrong. This might not be the starting quarterback for most of the year, but I think it will be. Give me number 14, Aaron Filo, Florida Gators. Buster Faulkner. Offensive wizardry. They got all these great receivers. They got Jaden Ball. So I think the offense could be pretty good. Again, not spectacular. I got him all the way down at 14. But I just think he'll come in. He'll have a good showing first year as a true starting quarterback. And again, it may not even be him. It could be Tremel Jones.
Yeah.
But I'm putting my faith in Aaron Filo right now just because of his not based on spring football, but just based on his play. He's been with Buster Faulkner before, so he knows the system a little bit better. I think at the end of the day, he's gonna, and maybe that's part of the reason why I got him so low, because he may split time with Jones. But give me Aaron Filo, number 14.
I don't hate it. I do think
I hate
that's
this wind,
buddy. I do actually. It feels kind of good. It's been so damn hot out here that I'm willing to sacrifice a little audio so I can feel good. But I don't know, man. Filo just seems like he could be one of those guys. Statistically, at the end of the year, he's in the top five just because of the weapons he has around him. This is going to be, you know, I'm not expecting Florida to come out here five wide and gunning, but golly, they got some dudes down there, and if they're staying healthy. You know, we may look back and say Filo, you know, was a big part of it. So, I don't hate this one, Mike. This actually, I think you nailed this one on the list. That may be the only
one.
That
means that's going to be the worst selection.
I have to, yeah. Watch it. Oh, the Filo haters at the end of the year are going to be awesome.
All right, number 13. Unlucky, some people say. Maybe lucky.
It's my number.
For them Razorbacks. Give me KJ Jackson. Shane, playing for old Silver Fox and Tim Kramsey, good, really good offensive mind. I think he'll be solid. Again, I think this is a really good list of quarterbacks, but I just don't know how much help he's going to have first year starting quarterback. He did look decent at the end of last season, playing for Bobby Petrino. Of course, he's not playing for him anymore, so I just don't really know where to put him.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to put him dead last. I mean, the Arkansas fans are going to be like, no respect. I didn't put him dead last.
Yeah.
13.
Put that on a t-shirt, guys, you know. I'm going back to something you talked about earlier. It was kind of a grouping situation, and it's tough to argue, like when you mentioned Filo and these guys.
So all these guys are in the same, and one more, but I'll hold off in a second. But these are all grouped together.
You just To sit here and say that this guy is going to be elite, you're lying. And if somebody's doing it right now, it's because they're an Arkansas fan.
Right.
You know? So I'm not going to – I feel where the Razorback fans will be. They're like, damn, look at what he can do. Look what he's got. You know, but until he does it, I'm right there with you, Mike. And, in fact, it's funny when I listen to some of these old quarterback ones, and I'm not saying we got a quarterback competition over here, but it's funny that – there are a handful of guys that we have on this list that ended the season on a bench. So this could be one of those guys.
About to put this wind on the bench. It's about to put me on the bench. All right, so the last guy in this grouping. Now, I've been harsh on this fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing personal. It's always funny to me, every offseason, why do you hate us?
Yeah.
You hate this? This old bitch has always hated us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but it's not hate. It's just this is what I truly believe, right? So I'm giving them some credit here because I've been negative on a lot of things. But one thing I cannot be negative, Shane, is on Will Stein's quarterback development.
Yeah.
So I know, again, basically what you just said about all these guys, what are we going off of? We're going off hope. We're going to optimism in the offseason.
Yeah.
I'm giving Kenny Minchie number 12. So I'm putting him at the top of this unknown list.
Yeah.
Because I think Will Stein will get the most out of him. Didn't play hardly in college football. He's back up at Notre Dame. You know, they're totally rebuilding the offense. Most of the pieces are completely new around him. So it's very hard to be confident in this selection, but it's more of a confidence in Will Stein, his ability to identify and develop a quarterback. So I think if Kentucky proves me wrong,
yeah,
and wins some games, it's going to be because Kenny Minchie is one of the rising stars at quarterback in this conference.
You know, I'm kind of glad we do this before media days, because it seems like after media days, you kind of want to reshuffle some of these guys around based on what you're hearing. And I'm hearing a lot of good stuff from Minchie, especially from, the Kentucky folks, and rightfully so. But I feel like it could be a perfect little recipe for success up there. And I shouldn't word it that way. Improvement, right? Because that's not what Kentucky's been here lately since Will Levitt. And, can we take it to the next level? I think there's a lot of folks up there. It feels like Minshew's going to be the guy. So this one right here could be the one that could move up the list quicker than everyone else.
Yeah. Red light still on? You've been watching it?
It is. Okay. We're good. Now, that being said, if you see Josh Pace, that means tornadoes around here somewhere. So,
all right, number 11. This is not going to go over well. Not at all.
I think we're beyond that, Mike.
Number 11. Who's one of the most touted guys? Transfer. He's not played. His fan base thinks he can win the damn Heisman.
Like, ever played? Or?
No, this season. Coach got him at the airport. Sam Levitt, LSU. The quarterback whisp. You said it yourself.
Yeah.
I ain't buying that bullshit, Shane. I've seen him play Mississippi State twice. And I know he beat him 1 year. That was mostly Cam Scadaboo. But last year, he didn't do shit against Mississippi State. Won one conference game.
Yeah.
He looked completely outclassed in that game.
Yeah.
Against the worst defense, probably in the Power Five. So, again, does that mean he's awful? No, I put him number 11. He's playing for Lane Quinton here. They have much better offense. They got talent all around him, but he wasn't a full participant in spring. Mm-hmm. Offensive line is almost completely rebuilt. The receiving core is completely rebuilt. I just don't believe you can throw all these pieces together and have an elite quarterback. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it, Shane. Again, at number 11, I'm not saying he's awful. But I'm saying he's kind of like middle of the road this season.
The bar's high, right? I mean, they're expecting him to be – I mean, this whole relationship with Lane Kiffin and company was supposed to be the miracle, the saving grace. And the tip of that spear is your quarterback that you stole from the University of Tennessee. But was it even his first quarterback he was looking for? Nope. What I'm saying? I mean, he did go down a list to get to this guy, and then you got, like you said, the missed spring practices, you've got the injury concern, and do I think that he'll have success under, if he's healthy? Absolutely. Wouldn't surprise me if this statistically isn't a top three quarterback in this conference. Just saying, statistically. But if I'm going to a locker room, do I want, damaged goods, or do I want to get another guy? I'm getting another one. So because of that uncertainty, and LSU, I'm not saying that he's unhealthy. I'm not really. He didn't text me this morning saying, Shane, don't put money on me. No, that's Texas Tech quarterbacks, not LSU quarterbacks. But I'm telling you right now, this is one that I'm just leery of putting too much confidence in, because I don't know what the future holds down there in LSU. If he can find 7 foot tall Tre'Davious Green, though, he's going to have some success. There'll be success in LSU.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Shane. So we're six deep here. I feel like you're loving this list. Normally you're hating it by this point.
Well, because I told you it's a deep quarterback room. And I don't feel like years in the past, the floor is lower than – I feel like there's a couple of guys you've already mentioned that we're not going to be – I wouldn't be blown away if they're talked about, an elite arm this time next year, right? The ones we're getting excited about at media days. These are uncertainties, unknown names that can quickly move up this list. So I don't hate it, because really it's a dart shoot right now.
Yeah. Well, another guy that I'm glad you're grabbing that beer, because you're going to need it, Shane. Number 10.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy might save his coach's job. We might get the coach fired.
Shit.
Give me Keelan Russell, Alabama. Five star. You know, they're all hyped up about the boring and Ryan Grubb getting their hands to work with this five star. What can he do? Shay, what can he do? 10. I mean, this is the one I feel is like the biggest crapshoot.
Yeah.
He could be number one or two.
Yeah.
If you look at the track record of DeBoering and Grubb and the quarterbacks, that's all they do is they take these lumps of coal and they turn them into diamonds, you know, and this guy might already be a diamond to begin with. So I don't know. Can you make a diamond even better? What can you make it, a platinum diamond? I don't know, but that's perhaps what Keelan Russell could do for Alabama this year. I'm putting him this low, not really even because of him. It's maybe to an extent just because he's largely inexperienced at this level, but I just don't have any faith in the offensive line. I don't have any faith in the running game. And you're telling me a quarterback's going to come in here, redshirt freshman, and tear up the SEC? I ain't buying it. Not unless they fix the offensive line, they can run the football. Then maybe he can.
Yeah.
And I think by the time his career ends, you know, if he transfers wherever DeBoering goes, after DeBoering gets fired, he'll be phenomenal. He could win the Heisman. He could be a first pick. You know what? But that's 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not buying it. But, again, like I said, this is the biggest roll of the dice because I think he could finish top three, and it wouldn't even stun me.
Do you factor in any quarterback controversy down here in Tuscaloosa? You're eliminating that.
That's for cowards, Shane.
I don't know, man. There's something about this kid. I know, Bammer. Steven, listen to this guy. Just absolutely hates the Tide, and I can't stand it. I'm going to stand up for you here. My thing is, I'm picking a dude, you know, and did I see it in spring? Yes, I did. I saw what could be the potential. We always do this, right? Wait till we get our guy. Wait till Kalen DeBoer gets his guy. By God, he's got his guy. And this is a guy that can if I'm putting money on a guy that could win a Heisman, not this year, but in future years, this is a guy right here because of what he has. The attributes this athlete has and the weapons he has around him. Brother, I feel like you missed this one.
I'm not ranking 27 quarterbacks, 28. I'm ranking 26.
Yeah, I know. But he'll be a front runner next year for sure on my list.
Oh, I think you're overlooking number 9.
Yeah.
And again, I'm going to catch hell for this, right? I'm sure. Probably not from you.
Yeah.
For this, at least for this selection. Number 9. Bazon Brandon, Tennessee. I put him higher up the list. True freshman. If he's redshirt, maybe I'd put him top 5. But coming in, you know, I'm trying to be somewhat realistic. Yeah. But again, by some accounts, this is the number one quarterback in the country.
Yeah.
I don't know that Josh Heupel's ever had this much talent at the quarterback position. Maybe Nico. But but hey, what did he do with Nico? He got him to the playoff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then we'll I got the picks coming up after that. But, again, I this is a belief in Tennessee. This is a belief in Heupel. This is a belief in the talent of Faison Brandon and the talent around him.
Yeah.
So, again, this is not today. Nobody in their right mind would put Sam Leavitt behind Faison Brandon today.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm saying in December.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have? Give me Faison because I think he's going to – again, I'm not saying he's going to be Cam Newton 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. But I think he's going to be really good this year.
I do too. And again, I think when I'm looking for a quarterback, especially in that scenario, the best quarterback, it's total package. And he is the total package. The knock on him is youth and inexperience. And there's going to be mistakes made early. And I like that you keep circling back around. What does it look like in December? Because this kid's going to look night and day different. He'll be like a 2-year vet by the time he gets through this SEC schedule, you know? And it's confidence that Josh Heupel will get the most out of him, right? I know this is a quarterback competition, you know, but there's a part of me that I think that's a knock. Not a knock. That's praise for FaZe. Like, he shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be in this conversation right now, but he is, and we can't keep this talent off the – if your backup is better than your starter, you put them out there. This is exactly what happened with Trinidad. And I'm not comparing the two, but I feel like at the end of the year, Josh Heupel, more times than not, gets the most out of a quarterback. You know, nobody knew who Hendon Hooker was, but they did at the end of 22, you know.
25 minutes in, there's your Hendon Hooker reference.
There it is. Love that guy.
So he's a bigger Trinidad. Got it. I mean, I think you nailed it.
is that the clip?
All right, number eight. So we're at the halfway mark here. I've hyped this guy up to no end.
Yeah.
I felt bad putting him this low. I mean, he could be a lot higher. But you got to come into this league. You got to prove it. You got to prove you're more than hype. Auburn's quarterback, Byron Brown.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good. But like I said, there's some good quarterbacks here, Shane. And again, if I'm doing July rankings, maybe a little bit higher. But I'm trying to do December rankings. So I think he'll be good for Auburn. I think their quarterbacks have been 14, 15, 16 the last several years. So they should be happy with the number eight quarterback. I think when we're fast-forwarding to the end of the season – you can make the case that no program had a better improvement at the quarterback position than Auburn, thanks to Byron Brown.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a weird situation. And by weird, if you've not followed Auburn, just bringing all of South Florida with you is kind of where we're at. So for that, I feel like this is a guy early in the season we're going to say, hey, dude, this is so much better than what we had.
Yeah.
But I do feel like this is a guy that we kind of know what his ceiling's going to be in this league. And some of these other ones that we've passed, it would be tough for me to put him up here just because the wind stops when I'm at I'll be honest with you. I don't think he's going to be some God's gift to football this season. But statistically, he will, because he's going to be with Golish and the style offense that they're going to run. But wait till he gets his guy. It's not this one. He brought the best case scenario with him, and I'm not as convinced that he's as good as you think he will be.
What did Emily do to you? All right, number seven. So I don't know where to put this guy either.
Yeah.
We've seen so much of them. I feel like we should have a firm.
To be fair, we're on the upper half now. So you're in this section. You're in a good side. Everybody we've talked to since. So.
Mm-hmm. So this is taking a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I almost put this guy higher. But again, he's got to earn my trust back, you know? It's almost like a relationship where, like, you get cheated on, and you're like, can I really take him back? Like, maybe baby steps, you know what I mean? That's how I feel about Lenore Sellers, South Carolina, number seven, getting a team with Kendall Briles. I think he'll be good. I thought he's going to be dynamic. I mean, last year I think I had him number two.
Yeah.
So this is a drop, and he was about the 13th, 14th best quarterback in the conference last year. So I don't know what to do with him, but he's got the potential. We've seen it. Now I think for the first time in his career, he's got the play calling and the offensive line, at least coaching-wise, to help him. And he's got a lot of help at receiver. And I think this has got to be the year for him.
The problem with Sellers is we've seen elite. Like, if I just remove 10 of the football games that we watched last year in South Carolina and I just showed you highlights, you say, dude, this guy won Heisman, didn't he? That's what he is. Like, when he's on, and he's one of these guys that can legitimately take over a football game, even if the offense isn't playing well, even if the defense isn't playing well. He's just one of, like, that Michael Vick-esque that can just completely transform a football game. That's what I love about Lenore's. And I do think that in this Brawl system and some more offensive linemen around him, hopefully he's not running for his life, and there'd be a little bit more balance, and he could really shine. But I'm also with you. If I show you two other games, you know, or three other games, you'd say, this guy got benched, didn't he? You know, it's just the ceiling and floor that I didn't know existed a couple of years ago is completely obvious over there in South Carolina. However, that being said, if I'm going to a locker room and I'm picking a quarterback to come out, this dude's got it. I've seen it. So I think this one you're a little low on. Yeah.
Are you surprised he came back to Carolina?
I am. But also I think that is another – it's not a bad thing. I think it shows character. There's less kids doing that.
Right.
He could have went a lot of other places, made a lot more money, could have just left, but came back to a South Carolina team that really needed him. And I think, yes, part of that's Shane Beamer and the culture they created up there. But more importantly, that shows leadership and character in your quarterback, which I think is important going into this season.
And he could have pulled a DJ Lagway at Baylor, you know, where he's like, neighbor screwed me, you know.
Yeah.
Did you see Dave Aranda came out? It was like they had him in a straight jacket. You know what I mean? Like,
come on, buddy. Get out of here.
All right, number six. Now, this one, people are going to be – I can already tell you the mention, Shane. They're going to be like, what has he done? Blah, blah, blah. Again, this is the end of the year. So I'm taking maybe the biggest gamble because this – I don't think this guy could be awful. I think that's the wrong word. But I think he – like, this is another one I could be overhyping. Yeah. He might not match this. Again, we're number six here. I wanted to put him higher, but he's got to show us something – a little bit more before we put him up any higher than number six. Give me Kamario Taylor, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Again, if we're talking just stats, I might put him number one.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is. This is, I think by the end of the year, people are going to be saying, God, is this guy going to Miami? Is this guy going to Texas? How much can Sark pay? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's going to be that kind of, and I'm not saying he's leaving because I've said a lot of negative things about Jeff Lebby, but I always say he's a great quarterback, developer, and play caller. And if Kamario Taylor, you know, takes to his coaching, which we saw last year, he already did, I think he could be phenomenal. And, man, this could be the reason, if I'm Mississippi State, that I got hope that we can surprise the SEC this year.
Oh, man. You know, they just – came out and said, Yahoo's going to do fantasy football for college kids. And I'm thinking, this kid's my first round pick, you know, because you're right. The numbers will be there. Running, passing, kid's a freak athlete. This is, I mean, I think of some of these other football teams that are just begging for a quarterback. And I was like, what if they had Taylor, man? This we'd be talking about them winning a national title, you know.
He's throwing footballs in the front yard right now.
Yeah.
And it's just destroying the air and causing all this wind, you know. That's how talented he is.
Oh, he's just got such a damn arm motion to him, you know. And I do – I've been on record. I feel like you're going to see that with Mississippi State. That's kind of why I'm – that kind of my sleeper team this year, just because of the talent they have in that quarterback room. But it's tough to argue. It's a small sample size, right? You know, and what I have seen, I'm impressed with. But youth, inexperience, that stuff's got to get tightened up. And because you're doing this based on what he will look like at the end of the year, I can't argue with him being at the sixth spot. But I do want to ask you, everyone hates where their quarterback is so far, right? Unless we've not mentioned your guy. At what ranking do you stop hearing people say, oh, you know, this guy's an idiot?
Number one.
Is it just no? Yeah. So you're just basically, you're going to piss off 15 fan bases.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And there's just
you don't know these guys by now?
I know. I'm curious, you know, because I would be sitting there as a State fan saying, you know what? I mean, when's the last time we've been top six on anything, you know, quarterback or, you know, I feel like this is a step in the right direction, but
not since Dak Prescott, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got high on Will Rogers there for a minute, just statistically with the Pirate, but you saw what happened when he left. So yeah, I think you're right. Dak would be the guy. And we've had some fun. The Bearded Trader, you know. Yep. We've had some fun dudes.
Yeah. Nick Fitzgerald was awesome. But again, at top six, I don't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
He's a guy I'd want to take to a bar fight with me, you know.
So I will say, remember there was a separation at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or at the bottom, however you want to phrase it. I think there's a separation here between the top five.
Okay.
I think these five guys are all clearly established. I think this is the cream of the crop. Now, you could convince me maybe one or two of these guys drops off, but I got confidence in all of them.
Yeah.
I think this is – if I'm touting the SEC's quarterbacks this year, which I've heard a lot of people do, it's because of these five guys. I think they're all standouts. Number five. People hate him. I love him. Marcel Reed. A&M. He's got all these weapons to work with. I know, change it, play caller, change it, offensive line, but how many quarterbacks, Shane, and I'm looking at the list, how many can get you to the playoff? There's not many out there in the country that can say they've done it. Marcel Reed can say he's done it. And at times, he looks spectacular. At times, not so much, very inconsistent. You know, we've seen it half to half.
Yeah.
He'll look terrible, he'll look amazing. So if he can put it all together, number five's too low. I've already predicted I think he's going to lead the SEC in passing touchdowns. So I think he's going to be a really good player this year. He was good last year.
Yeah.
Just lacking that consistency. I think he gets it this year. Number five quarterback in the SEC, Marcel Reed.
Good weapons around him. You know, I go back and forth with Marcel because it is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know. And one of the things that maybe I'm a little worried about is just because, I don't know, man. It's just, I haven't, elite, right? He's never hit that threshold. I've never walked away from a game.
I think he has, Shane. I think Notre Dame? Forget. Notre Dame over 400 yards. LSU, I believe he scored five touchdowns. I don't remember how many touchdowns, but they ran them out of the damn building.
I feel like, but his style, for him to, they almost have to take thinking out of it and make the up-tempo work. You know, it almost seems like when
he said it twice to LSU, now that I think about it. Remember they were getting their ass hammered, and that was when they had to pull Connor Wigman?
Yeah.
And then he was a spark, and they whooped LSU's ass in the second
half. Well, yeah, but again, they let him loose. They eliminated the thinking. I feel like that's what they're going to do a little bit more this year and make his life easier. They got plenty of weapons around him, but I feel like Marcel is just right where he needs to be. You know, toward the top, but not the top.
Yeah, and I say this about a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
like we see him play for a season or season and a half. Mm-hmm. There's things to pick apart. There's things to like. There's things not to like.
Is that – maybe that's it. We've seen so much video on Marcel.
So here's – that's why, like, Mario Taylor, Byron Brown, Faison Brandon, Keelan Russell, Kenny Minchie, Aaron Philo, on and on, Jared Curtis, Austin Simmons. We've not seen that much negative.
Yeah.
So it's just like, these guys are going to whoop ass. You know what I mean? But as soon as one of these guys has a three-interception game, he can't play. Get his ass off the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we highlight the negative so much that we just overlook all the positive.
That could be it.
Because, and you learn from that. You know, you learn from your failures. At least that's the way it's supposed to go. Peyton Manning lost 13 games as a rookie in the NFL. How'd he turn out, Shane? Play, you know?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you get better with experience. The good quarterbacks do, like Marcel.
Well, I mean, not a lot of quarterbacks get 3 years at it in the SEC, you know? So maybe the third time is the charm, Mike.
All right, number four. Again, a little bit of leap of faith, a little bit. I think I'm higher on this guy than just about anybody until that Manning Passing Academy and those guns came out that everybody was back on. But give me Ja Mateer, Oklahoma. And this, again, statistically – he wasn't even that good last year statistically by the end of the year. And I'm not saying he will be this year. Again, this is not pure stats or anything.
Yeah.
Because I think Oklahoma wants to establish that run, play to the strength of their defense. But I think he'll be a lot better this year with more help on the outside, more help at receiver and tight end, better running game, improved offensive line. So I think by the end of the year, when Oklahoma – I don't want to spoil my predictions, but when they have a really good year, I think people are going to be saying, damn, shit. Were we wrong about Ja Mateer? And Mike was right.
Yeah. Well, they started last year. I mean, they were on the right path, and you know, we kept. I felt like similar to Sam Leavitt, you know, the bar was moved high. What, look, yeah, this guy's going to do, you know, they brought the coordinator in, you know, this thing's going to, it's going to hit. I know it's going to hit. And then we're watching two games in. We're like, brother, they may be right. You know, because you always wonder, like, did we waste all this money in the transfer portal for this kid? And I feel like they got a really good guy here. And then the thumb, and then Dr. Shin, and all the shit that came on after that. But what I do like, man, is, you know, when you talk about some of the elite, it's these guys that take their college money, right, the money they're making, and they're going elsewhere. They're doing anything and everything they can to perfect their craft. And I feel like that's exactly what John has been doing. Like, he wasn't excited about how last year finished. And he's changed his throwing motions. He's working with new guys, and you're clearly working out. I mean, he's got the guns out. But more importantly, I feel like they surrounded him now with some more talent to work with, and that's going to really shine at times this season. So I don't hate this one at all. I feel like he's definitely a top five quarterback. Would not blow my mind if he's top two, you know, at the end of the season, because this is also a guy that has the leadership capability. That sometimes we don't talk about that because we want to talk about just throwing power and throwing. Yeah. But I feel like as far as natural born leader, you can clearly see it when John's in a room, and sometimes he's going to elevate the talent that's around him, which is very important for a quarterback as well.
And I may be reading too much into the situation a little bit, but I bet you, Shane, coming from Washington State.
Yeah.
Now, I believe he's from Texas, so he knew all about Oklahoma and everything. But I don't think you can really understand it until you're there. And that state and Sooner Nation, just obsessive, you know, they're fans.
Yeah.
They're some of the best fans in the world. But they're like, a lot of these SEC fans, they're just so obsessed.
Yeah.
And when you get thrown into that and then you start winning, I think that's hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was really bothered from what I know. Do you remember when it was like he was talking to the Chipotle guy?
Yeah.
And then the Chipotle guy, I think he ran to Sooner Scoop and was like, John told me he's playing, baby. And that became like a national thing. I just don't know if he knew what he was getting himself into off the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're being like arguably the most famous athlete in that state other than – obviously, they got an NBA team. Other than the NBA team, yeah, you know what I mean? But I just think getting dropped in that and then meeting the hype early, it just ramps it all up. Does that make sense? Where, like, now he's – I think he's in a better place where he understands what he's getting himself into.
Yeah.
I think it's – like, that's one thing we haven't even talked about Arch yet. But he's got the best sports system in the world.
Yeah.
Being in the Manning family, I don't think you can phase that guy. I don't think he pays attention to anything. I don't think he's on, to my knowledge, I don't think he's on any social media. He doesn't have to. But all these other guys, I don't think they know how to handle it. And I just think in year two, I think John Mateer will be able to handle all the off-the-field stuff.
Yeah.
And that goes to exactly what you're saying. All the what's he doing this offseason? Is he going to the beach? I mean, he may. I don't know. But is he doing all that? Or is he training his ass off because he knows this is his one last shot to prove to the NFL that he can play and bring a championship to Oklahoma? It seems like he's doing everything he can to do that.
That's it. I mean, you spend $1 million to get $10 million, you know. So that I feel like that this is a guy that, you know, he screwed up his thumb. He hates it because he feels like this. He's a natural born winner.
Yeah.
And if you don't hit certain goals, you blame yourself. I mean, we've all done that. We're human, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what I see with John, is just a guy that's, dude, he's ready to give his all, and I'm expecting a big season for him for sure.
All right, now we're into the top three, Shane. I think most people know the names that are up here.
Yep.
But I just can't get over, Shane. I can't get over it. The disrespect thrown at Gunnar Stockton, number three. I mean, the guy's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had some so-so performances, but, you know, last year was his first year, truly. I know people like to point to the Notre Dame playoff loss. I mean, that was literally his first start in the playoff. Guy's a damn warrior. 10 rushing. I think people overlooked the rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He went head-to-head against Arch. You know, if the NFL was picking off based on that one game, which clearly they don't do. But if they did, they would pick Gunnar Stockton over Arch. You know what I mean? Like, he outclassed his ass. So I think Gunnar's really good. He's got work to improve his game, obviously. But at times, he's been super clutch. What will he have at receiver? That's obviously the biggest question mark with the football team. But I think by the end of the year, I mean, he might go down in history as – I don't know that he can surpass Stetson, because Stetson won two. But I think people could be like, I think he's as good as Stetson. I mean, I think people will – Dog Nation will start to say that if Georgia does what I think they can do this season.
Yeah. This is a guy that just shows up to work, man. Lunch pail in hand. 15 minutes early, you know what I'm saying? Reminds me of what Papa always said, you know, if you're 10 minutes, what did he say? If you showed up on time, you're 10 minutes late. You know what I'm saying? That ain't what we do down here in Georgia. This man, doesn't matter if he's got a broken leg, broken arm, broken thumb, he's going to get out there and he's going to get it done. And I feel like there's got to be something about that, a little toughness, right? I don't think there's a tougher quarterback in this league than him right there. But again, this is a guy that, you know, I really feel like Georgia could have went out here and got just about any quarterback they wanted, and they know exactly what they have. And this guy, Georgia as a team, maybe we're not talking about near as much as we should, but if they win a national title, it's because Gunnar took them to the next level, and I feel like he's fully capable of doing that, man.
So you don't mind him being number three?
No, I love it. Because most lists that you're going to see, Mike, I'm going to be real with you, what does it look like in the NFL draft, right? Are you expecting Gunnar, the first quarterback selected? Hell no, right? But going in that locker room, I need a freaking drive out of somebody. You better believe, man, because you look at, like, Mendoza last year. You know, how did he win the Heisman? He won the Heisman because he lowered his head and he got that touchdown, you know? Yeah. There's a couple of good passes in there. Winning a national title didn't hurt, but his physical play is what got him there, and nobody's more physical than this guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, so number two. Trinidad.
Oh.
Now you make the case he's number one, right?
Yeah.
But again, if we're going – if we're ranking these guys after last season, I think he has to be number one.
Yeah.
But we're not. We're ranking at the end of the year.
Yeah.
New offensive play caller, new head coach, new pieces, a lot at receiver, both those starting offensive tackles being replaced. I think that's a lot to replace.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying – again, number two, Ole Miss fans are going to be – you said – you asked, you know, who's going to be upset? Everybody. Everybody but number one. Ole Miss fans are going to be most upset because I dare say number two. But I think that's a lot to overcome. I almost put him a little bit lower because I think what people do – and Trinidad deserves all the hype, all the praise. But I think people just get so caught up in, you know, that last Georgia game and – you know, how dynamic he looked, hell, he looked the closest I've seen to Michael Vick. You know what I mean? Like in college football. So, again, anybody wants to put him number one, I'm not even going to be mad about it. But I'm putting him number two because I just think with all the newness, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher sledding. But he's such a good player that he'll overcome a lot of it, just maybe not all of it.
See, I think Ole Miss fans still hate me. But you shouldn't because Mike missed this one. He should have been at the number one spot. Trinidad Trambliss is the best quarterback in the country. My Heisman front runner right now. And that's no knock on who we're going to talk about.
By the end of the year.
Even by the end of the year.
You're saying this Ole Miss is going to be worse than Mississippi State. So you can't put Trinidad up there by the end?
He can't do it all. You know, I'm talking about, again, in this analogy, if I switch quarterbacks – if I put old Trinidad down there in Austin, Texas, you tell me they ain't going to get to the college football playoff? Hell yeah, they're getting the college football playoff. You know, and I like some of the weapons around him. I like the offensive line. I like Lacy. It's going to be more the defense. Reason I'm kind of down on Ole Miss is I feel like there are some question marks, but more or less the schedule is, I feel like, a lot more daunting this season than it has been in the years past. But I'm thinking in my mind, if they do make the playoffs, it's because of the arm and legs of Trinidad Chambliss, and I'm right. I'm with everyone else. I feel like he is the best quarterback in the country, so you kind of missed on this one. But barely. There's one other guy that I'd probably give number two spot.
George McIntyre. No, it's Arch. Come on, man. Yeah. Arch Manning, number one. He caught fire by the end of last season.
I love Arch, yeah.
All the chips are on the table. Bringing in Cam Coleman, bringing back Ryan Wingo. We just went out here and stole Bama's transfer running back, Smothers. And then, I've said it. I think Relique Brown from Arizona State, when I go back and watch Sam Leavitt, I think Brown looks better than Leavitt. You know what I mean? So they got him too. If I'll tell you what, Shane, if Arch Manning's not number one on this by the end of the year, like even if he's number two, we got fire Sark's ass. Sorry, so bitch. He's got to coach this guy up better. We've got to execute better. And we saw that at the tail end of last season from Arch. And if he takes what he did last year late, not early, but late, if that can be carried over to this year, he's going to win the Heisman.
Yeah, he's not like every Manning you know, right? You know, he's not Eli. He's not Peyton. You know, this is a guy that got some legs to him.
Yeah.
He is a full package. And,
that's what we say about you.
I know. Very full package. But there's some things that he brings to the team, not just the leadership. He's just like everything. Everything. If you're building a quarterback from the ground up, this is who you're building right here, you know. In fact, when I played the video game, and I would – everything, the attributes, everything would be just like Manning. And I can't argue. And the main thing for me is something you hit on. How did he look at the end of last year? That's progression. And if that progression continues on that route, by the time we get to the end of this season, if Texas is going to bring home a national title, it's because Manning – did it for you know?
Yeah, I think 100%. So no excuses. This is the year. Arch Manning, and I didn't even really consider anyone else. How about that?
Golly, Steven, come on out. Tell everybody where. I did not – I can be honest with you. I always try to imagine how this is going to play out. That is not what I had. I figured you'd have Manning at like 6 or 7 and fire up those Longhorns. But I'm. This list is pretty damn good, Mike. Pretty damn good. Not perfect. There's some guys a little too low, in my opinion. You know who you are. But I feel like I think you nailed kind of this top half of the league.
So let me recap real quick. Jared Curtis, 16. Austin Simmons, 15.
Way too low.
Aaron Filo, 14. KJ Jackson, 13. Kenny Minchie, 12. Sam Leavitt, 11. Keelan Russell, 10. Faison Brandon, 9. Byron Brown, 8. Lenore Sellers, 7. Kamario Taylor, 6. Marcel Reed, 5. John Mateer, 4. Gunnar Stockton, 3. Trinidad Chambliss, 2. Arch Manning, 1. Who do I overrate the worst?
Overrate? That's a good. Damn, could you give it to me? I wasn't even paying attention there. Can you do that?
Shit. Jared Curtis, 16.
Yeah.
Austin Simmons, 15. Aaron Filo, 14. KJ Jackson, 13. Kenny Minchie, 12. Sam Leavitt, 11. Keelan Russell, 10. Faison Brandon, 9. Byron Brown, 8. Lenore Sellers, 7. Kamario Taylor, 6. Marcel Reed, 5. John Mateer, 4. Gunner, 3. Trinidad, 2. Arch, 1.
Doubling down. Marcel Reed, way too high.
And then who is underrated?
I almost went Austin Simmons, but I do think that Russell. I think Russell's too low. Rodad.
Almost number 50.
Yeah. Almost too. I mean, I think he's low, but I'm just trying to think like who's too low. I feel like when we get to the end of the season, Russell's going to be in the top 5.
Is there any of the quarterbacks that I said, not that you're guaranteeing any of them, that you think won't even be the starting quarterback by the end of the year?
Filo. Yeah, Filo.
Well, again, I put it pretty low, you know?
Yeah. That may be one. And Arkansas, I think you may be. It wouldn't blow my mind if there's a little bit of a – I mean, it's going to be a tough season, Mike. They're going to have to blame some people, you know. Quarterback is not the job you want when you're in Arkansas.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, that's going to do it for the latest episode of That SEC Podcast 2026. Quarterback rankings are in the books. I just hope and pray they can hear any some of this during this day of week. You know what?
I'm sure there's a few that are glad they can. This again, Mike's list, not mine.